Blog Talk Radio.
And we're
we're going to have him come to us in just a minute. We are having just a little technical difficulty, so it'll be just a couple more minutes. But while we're waiting to get, don't, Mr. Benjamin, I know you're there. We were just talking. Don't hang up. It's just that my computer has difficulty. So difficulties is a nice word for frozen. So it's the new technological word for frozen. So as soon as I get this underway, we will be back up and we will have Mr. Benjamin. Okay, we're almost there. We're not quite there yet. So just bear with us for just a few more minutes. And Mr. Benjamin is going to come. You know, he is the author of the book, Sexy at 60. And I know some people want to read that even though they're in their 20s and their 30s. But because it's good stuff, you know. He's working on his movie where he's interviewing people who are, well, he can tell you more about it, but definitely interviewing people who are, you know, 60 and very, very, very close to 60 and over 60. But now these are not your average, typical people. These are people who are living, boy, talking about living your life like it's golden. These are individuals who are living their fantastic lives, and they are individuals who are taking care of themselves. So his, you know, the topic for his show that he's doing here on Tuesdays, that he developed his program, is healthy aging and lifelong learning. Healthy aging and lifelong learning. So just give us a few more minutes, and we're going to bring him on, and you'll be able to hear from him. But we're so glad that you decided to tune in. Don't go away. We'll have the chat room open in just a minute. Don't know why my computer is deciding to freeze this morning, but we know that that's just an opportunity to test our computer skills. So remember, when Mama told you to go to school and learn something, well, hopefully computers was on that list for the past, 20-something years. You went to school, and if you didn't make computers one of your classes, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. So, this is a computer. So, yes, but I tell you, don't worry. You are going to be totally thrilled that you waited for this little computer glitch to be resolved. And because I know we were just on, and then, okay, here, I think we're about to get somewhere. That's what, like I said, if you went to school in the past 20 years and you didn't take a computer class, they're in big trouble, right, Mr. Benjamin?
That's right. That's right. We need to have all the tools ready and working properly.
That's it. So, see? There we go. There you are. So you're in.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Awesome. Well, it just gave me a great opportunity to give you that nice long introduction. So
Thank you so much.
Take it away. Tell us your topic for today and what you're going to be talking about this Tuesday.
Yeah, well, again, a few things really, but the big thing is the program is entitled "Sexy at 60: Who's Afraid of Meditation?" And basically, get a little deeper into ourselves and cultivate silence and look inside ourselves and to the quiet and find a real person, you know, reduce our stress, relaxation techniques and that kind of thing. And I want to start with a quote, and this is from a book by Bob Greene, and his claim to fame is that he was the one who was the personal trainer for Oprah Winfrey. And he has a book called 20 Years Younger. In the book, and I quote, he says, "Aging gracefully, to me, means continuing to be enthusiastic about life and all that it has to offer. The most compelling reason to hang on to your health, maintain strength and energy, and yes, even look your best, is that it helps you to stay positive and be happy, active, excited, and in love with life." And this is Bob Greene from a book entitled 20 Years Younger. And basically, Lalisa, what it says to me is that you have to be engaged in life. You have to be involved in life to really enjoy life. A lot of us, when we get into our 60s, tend to sort of turn down the thermostat. We tend to just sort of coast to our demise, really, because I was talking to my father, who is 77, and he's a photographer. He's a party DJ. He drives a school bus. He's very involved with the Tennis Association. He arranges block parties and those type of things. And I know for myself that, you know, you can't really be 60 at 60 if you start at 59. So you have to start earlier. And talking with him, he was over at my house. We were doing filming for the documentary, 60 at 60. And then we really came with the idea that really to get to 70 and 80, you really have to go through 60. And for many of us, the 60s are very challenging only because we really, at that point, we have to face our mortality, realizing that, you know, we don't have to be around here. Life can go on without us. So we have to understand that it's up to us to take charge of ourselves, take charge of our minds and our bodies. And the whole thing about it, I look at the holistic approach to health. It is about the mind, the body, and spirit. And every day we have to do something to develop that. Because in the final analysis, that's what we are. We are mind, body, and spirit. And although meditation is more the spiritual part, it also affects the mind and the body because it slows down our racing, our racing hearts, our racing minds. You know, we have to really, you know, we have to calm down. And like we talked about before, sometimes you have to take a time out. And that time out can be just a few minutes in your office. Just sometimes I know when I'm at home, I just sit back in my chair and I just close my eyes and I'll be very mindful of my breath. When I do my walking in the morning, do my 5 miles, at one time I used to have a Walkman. I had to walk in on and listen to music. But I find it's better just to walk and just enjoy the quiet, just enjoy your own thoughts or just relax yourself, because I think sometimes we exercise, but then we have so many things going on outside of us that almost defeats the purpose, you know. But we want to relax, we want to be mindful, we want to let the good feelings flow through us in our silence. And sometimes when we're quiet, we can listen to an inner voice, and that's what's going to really help us determine our future, not what's from the outside, but what's from the inside. But we don't know what's inside unless we take time to listen to it.
Wow, that is so good. And, you know, so you got it, honestly. You got your dad that you've been watching all these years and seeing how he is very, you know, has a lot of vital. He's very vital. He's very, you know, active. He's enjoying his life. He's, you know, living his, you know, just taking every opportunity to live out things that, you know, he's able to do and wants to do. That's got to be exciting. And, you know, you said your father's 77, and he's doing all these things. He's doing more things than some 37-year-olds are doing.
Well, that's the thing, because he said, I mean, he has a choice. He said that he lives in a senior citizen building, and he sees how people live their lives. And the sad thing about it, Lalisa, is he finds that the women are doing a lot better than the men. I mean, it's the women who wanted bingo, a bingo night at the building, and they wanted a card night, and they wanted a DJ night and that kind of thing. And they're more active than the men. The men tend to sit back and wake up and then, you know, have their breakfast and watch TV all day and not get outside and not really enjoy the life that they can. And it's so sad. My father's 77, but my mother is 76, and she's very active, you know. You know, they're no longer together, but what happened is that she, every morning she walks, and at one time the malls had opened up the early for senior citizens to come in and actually walk around the mall to get their exercise. And I think this was a very good thing, because people understand that, you know, exercise is important. You know, you got to exercise. You got to exercise. You have to eat right. You have to think right. You have to be right. And the only way to do that is to really is to study in schools. I love college. I teach at colleges. Colleges are very important, but most of the time, colleges don't teach us how to really live life. They teach us how to make a living, but they don't teach us how to make a life. And that's why I read so many self-help books and other material, because I realized that there was something missing in my education. I think they're probably doing a little bit better now, but most people are so busy trying to get the skills that they need for their job, not realizing that there's some skills they need for their lives that is even more important, because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. That's the one thing I found about this whole thing, doing this research for the 60 at 60 project. Health is the number one thing. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So if you talk about wealth, and we have to redefine wealth. Wealth is just not money. Wealth is the health that you have, the relationships that you have, the things that you view, the things that you talk about, the things that you write about, the hobbies that you have to make you a more creative person. And creativity is not just writing a book or writing a play or making music. Creativity is the way that you set up your house. I mean, there's a woman who I know who is 77, and basically her claim to fame is her beautiful home. You come into her home, and it's like being in a showroom, but that's her creativity. That's how she expresses her creativity, and we need to do that. We need to be constantly stimulated by our environment, because if we're not, we tend not to respond. We tend to sort of go through life as if it wasn't that important, as if, you know, we're waiting for death, and that's not a way to live. You know, we should be looking forward to each day with expectation that we know is going to be better than the last day, and that is going to be something that we can really enjoy. And I tell my students, and they have a big problem with this, they don't have a lot of focus, and they don't like to meditate because they figure that, you know, they're missing something. But the thing is that you have to be in the moment. I think that's one thing you learn when you get in your 60s, that it's about being in the moment. It's about enjoying the moment, not worrying about the past or worrying about the future, but what's before me right now. How can I make that the best right now? I can't change the past. I don't know what the future is, but I know I have the present. And again, I think it's called the present for a reason, because it is a gift that we have right now that we can share with our friends and our family, and in your case, your listening audience. We have something to offer just to think about. Thinking about thinking. How about that? You know, thinking about thinking. How important is to think? How important is it to have your own opinions and your thoughts and your feelings, and not think that you have to always conform to somebody else's thoughts and feelings? Nobody is more intelligent than you are. You know, they may know more facts and figures, but in the final analysis, they don't know you. You are the authority on you. Nobody can be you but you. But you have to know who that person is. And one aspect of meditation is affirmations. And one of the biggest people for that is Louise Hay. She's in her 80s. She's the publisher of Hay House Publishing Company, also Hay House Radio. And 24/7, you go to that, www.hayhouseradio.com, and all her authors have radio programs like Dr. Wayne Dyer and Cheryl Richardson and Bruce Lipton and all these people. They can really help you get yourself together, but you have to avail yourself of that. You have to, you know, do that. And one thing I like about Louise Hayes is that she really gives us some things. And I just want to read this from her book called You Can Heal Your Life. And this is for her. This is like a meditation because, again, it's focused. I want to just read this. It says here, this is from Louise Hay. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole and complete. The past has no power over me because I am willing to learn and to change. I see the past as necessary to bring me to where I am today. I am willing to begin where I am right now, to clean the rooms of my mental house. I know it does not matter where I start, so now I begin with the smallest and the easiest rooms. And in that way, I will see results quickly. I am thrilled to be in the middle of this adventure, for I know I will never go through this particular experience again. I'm willing to set myself free. All is well in my world. And she says, all is well in my world. An affirmation. You know, you get up in the morning and you say, that's the first thing you say. All is well in my world. And really, it comes to pass. You know, one of the things she says is that when you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, look into your own eyes, look into you, and say something like an affirmation, like "All is well in my world," or something like "In the infinity of life, where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete." You set this in your mind, and that day, I mean, you look in the mirror, you look outside sometimes, and maybe it's cold, maybe it's cloudy, but you say to yourself, you know, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. And you keep on saying that to the point where you believe it because you make it happen. And a lot of people sabotage their days by saying, oh, it's going to be a terrible day. You know, this is not going to be good. But if you say, you start with a positive thought in the morning, say, you know, it's going to be a great day. All is well in my world. And it makes a difference. It makes a big, big difference how you set your mind for your day. It's all about mindset.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's good. That's good. People need to know that, you know, you set your day with your thinking. You're so right. That is so true and so helpful. So we just, you know, welcome the listeners, welcome each and every person to the show this morning. We're so glad you decided to tune in. You're listening to Mr. Terry Benjamin. He is the author, publisher, professor, producer, movie producer, just so many wonderful things, husband, father, friend. You know, he's here to help. You know, when I think about so many people that are aging, say, let's just, because you're going to do that if you live. So
you have no choice.
Around it unless you want your life to end early, but if you don't, living, you're going to age, but it doesn't have to be an end of a thing, so to speak. It can be the beginning. So many people, I hear them, and they talk about their retirement as if, you know, they're going to go and, you know, just roll up in a little ball somewhere and, you know, and stop living. Like, wow, I don't see that for my own self. I have no plans of that. I don't even know what that is.
Well, I don't see it either, but I think a lot of times people don't understand that, you know, I think I said sometime in this particular country, the way we're set up is that we're very youth-oriented. We put a lot of value on youth. I mean, in the consumer market, it's the youth who have the discretionary income to buy the CDs and the DVDs and go to the concerts and that kind of stuff. And so what happens, their advertising sort of caters to them, you know.
But wait a minute, hold it. They're consumers because they have our money.
Yeah, right. Is that something? Of course. That's the funny thing about it. So we pay, but they don't cater to us. But I think what happens is that we have to understand that, you know, as long as you live life, you can make it better. And, you know, we talk about this whole thing, sexy at 60, this concept, and I'm always looking around for people who are in their 60s, and it's so funny. I had in my house, you know, we just started the filming and whatnot, but we had a conversation about people in the limelight, you know, who are still going strong, and then two people came to mind right off the bat, Samuel L. Jackson, who is sexy at 62, and he's on Broadway as we speak in a play about Dr. Martin Luther King. And again, and the thing with that particular play, I mean, it's 90 minutes. It's 90 minutes without an intermission, which means that for 90 minutes, an hour and a half, he's on that stage. You know, and that takes a lot of stamina. That takes a lot of mental and physical and spiritual strength. To do that. And then another person that we looked at in terms of, and I have a section in my book and also my film called Celebrity Wise. And in that particular section, we just put a picture of somebody like Thomas Selleck. We said, sexy at 67, or Samuel L. Jackson, sexy at 62. And now we have Patti LaBelle, who was sexy at 67. And Patti, I think that she's still at the top of her game. You know, she hasn't lost anything. But I think it is with Samuel L. Jackson and Patti LaBelle, they're really good because they're doing what they love to do, and they have the opportunity to do it to the fullest. And I think, you know, we have to understand that we have that same opportunity. I think with this aging process, like you said, if you live long enough, you're going to age, but you don't have to speed it up. I mean, meditation slows everything down. It slows it down to the point your heart is not racing. You're not overly stimulated. You know, you're sort of able to be calm, and that's why the affirmations are so important. You put that into your spirit. You drop that into your spirit. I always say to myself, one of my affirmations is that I have all the money I need to do what I need to do. And it's true. Every time I have to do something, you know, I say, well, I don't know if I have the money to do it. But then I say, I do have the money to do it. I can do that. And then more money comes in. I mean, a lot of things that I used to do for free, I'm charging for it. And not because I'm trying to make a lot of money, but I realize that a lot of times people don't really value something unless they can put a price tag on it.
Okay.
Sure. You know, and I mean, I think you and I, we are both generous people, and we give, and there's nothing wrong with giving, but I think sometimes you have to also realize that you need to receive as well, because, you know, there's a lot of things I know with you and I, a lot of things that we need to do, that it takes money to do, and we don't always have the money, so we have to work and do other things. But I think in our situation, we have the opportunity to help people, and in helping people, I mean, it's like, you know, they donate to us, they donate to our foundation, whichever you want to call it, because they realize that we're giving them something, but nothing's going to get any place else. And again, you can't put a value on a dollar amount of value on anything, because I tell anybody, I said, you know, you first of all, you can't afford me anyway, but I'm willing to work with you, and I'm you know, and give you a price only because, you know, we know that this is serious business. You know, a lot of times people, if they get too many things for free, they tend to take it for granted. But when you put a price tag on it, you realize that, okay, this is a service. I don't mind paying for the service. But my whole thing, and I know the same thing for you, Lisa, I give 150%. When you hire me to do something, whether it's teaching a class or doing some personal training or doing some editing, whatever it is, I'm going to give you more than what you expect, give you more than what you imagine. When I work with, I have a lot of people coming out with books that I've edited and work with them. And again, I said, all I want you to do is that you just send me a copy of the book so I can put it in my archives. I'm a chat person. I think one of the things about being older and aging gracefully is the fact that you really are happy for other people's success. You see other people doing great things, and you say, you know, right on, you say, this is a good thing. And you're not envious. You're not jealous, because again, you know that you have the same opportunity. If that's what you want to do. Anybody can be a filmmaker. You have to get with the right people. But the thing is, it's not impossible. We have the means of production. I mean, we can publish books, you know, right on our computer. We can. I know when I publish my books, basically, we do everything on the computer, and we send the computer disc to the publishing company, and they print everything from the disc, and this is the cover and everything else. But I think the thing is that you learn to do what you want to do. You know, if you want to grow old gracefully, you learn what to do to make it happen. And then you hang around people that really are about it. I love spending time with my mother and father, because as I look at them, I see myself in another 10 years, you know. Another, you know, in the case of my father, maybe another 16 years, okay. Because, again, you look at people who are doing what you want to do, and then you emulate them. Both my mother and father, their weight is completely under control, you know, because, again, they know what they have to do, and they do it. And, again, a lot of people talk about doing something, but they don't do it. They know. We know what we have to do to live a long, healthy life, but a lot of us don't want to do it. A lot of us take shortcuts. I mean, I tell you, I love dessert. I'm the type of person, I can have dessert with every meal. But I know that's not good for me because of the sugar and those empty calories. So I might have it maybe a special treat. I'll have it maybe once a week, but I won't have it for every meal, you know. And also I believe in fasting. You know, I think there may be a couple of days during the week that you maybe eat lighter, or maybe, you know, and sometimes, you know, my father, he's a big person with juicing, and he He puts a lot of fruits and vegetables in a blender, and he has a smoothie. You know, and that, I mean, because I think a lot of times, you know, people tell us things that we don't really believe. You know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day because that's what's getting us started. I mean, you know, you talk about breakfast, and that's a really good word because what it means, if you break it down, it means break fast. It means break the fast. When we go to bed, you know, I advocate not eating any, if you can, have dinner before 6 o'clock, you know, and then you have a fast, and you go in your fast, and you go to bed, and when you get up in the morning, you break the fast. Okay, and that's what it is it breaks fast. But again, if you don't have breakfast, I like to have, for me, my breakfast, I like to have a fruit salad. Have a fruit salad in the morning, have a bowl of soup in the afternoon, and then I have a dinner with my family. And the thing is, with the dinner, I like to have it at home with my family because we pray. We pray over the food, okay? And again, that's a form of meditation as well. I think, again, you know, you have to really put your life in order. You have to really develop some habits that you just don't stray away from. They say that children who eat dinner with their parents are not as likely to get in trouble because they know they have parents are looking out for them. I know when I was a child, we used to have prayer in school. Every morning you would start with prayer. And a lot of times it was just being quiet, just being silent. And the kids would start out like that, you know, instead of running around in the playground and that kind of stuff. Because silence, they say silence is golden, but people don't really know what that means. I'm reading a book now, it just came out, a book called Spontaneous Happiness. This is by Andrew Weil, W-E-I-L, Andrew Weil, M.D., expert in healthy aging. And I'm going to read this book. He says, I have little patience with people who can't keep quiet. I have discovered the way that I best acquire knowledge and useful information is to listen rather than talk. But in recommending that you cultivate silence, I'm asking you to limit what you hear more than what you say. I've already discussed the adverse impact on our moods and noise upon our life. This is the point that I really want to bring to your listeners. It says here, I believe that making an effort to experience silence regularly, even if briefly, helps counteract that and supports our well-being, physical, mental, and spiritual. So he's saying that cultivating silence, just being in that moment, just your eyes closed, just focusing, benefits not only the mental but also the physical and the spiritual. And I think the big debate going on right now, and he addresses it in this particular book, Spontaneous Happiness. He says that the goal in most people's lives is to be happy. I mean, I think the goal in everybody's life is to be happy. But he says that, you know, we have this whole question, a whole discussion now about spirituality. And he has this whole section of the book called Secular Spirituality, where people who don't want to be identified as Baptist or Catholic or Christian or whatever, but they do have a form of spirituality. And it's a big debate because, again, I don't know if you have spirituality without God. But the thing is that we know that we need to have some higher power that we give gratitude to, because one of the things that Oprah always talks about, and I really believe it, she talks about the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude, we have to really be thankful and mindful, realizing that there are people who come in our lives for a reason. We have to be grateful for those people. We have to be grateful for our life. We have to be grateful for our daily bread, our jobs, our family, our clothes, our activities. These are things to be grateful for, but we can't be grateful for them unless we take time to meditate on these things, take time to be more conscious and to be, again, to practice mindful living, you know, realizing that life goes by so fast, but it goes by even faster if you don't think about it. So the thing is to think about it and take that time out. Take that time out. Even if it's like 10, 15 minutes, you know, again, I can get into meditate and phase. And I tell you, in that minute, and maybe just for 15 minutes, but that 15 minutes of meditation for me is almost like taking a half an hour nap. And again, as you get older, you realize that that rest, I tell you, sleep, I never enjoy sleep so much as I enjoy it now. I used to pride myself on not needing sleep and running full tilt, you know, 24/7. But now I said, you know, it's not productive. It's not productive. It's more productive for me to take a break, go into a meditation, and then come back to that task at hand. And I'm refreshed. I see things a lot clearer. And I'm having more fun. I think that's one of the things that I think about the Sexy at 60 project. I mean, I'm having so much fun with it because I've met people that I wouldn't have met if I wasn't meditating on this whole thing, Sexy at 60, and people thinking they're just talking about like physical appearance. I mean, that's important because, you know, I think, again, if you feel good, you know, you look good.
And you know, I think you know, it's going to help so many people who. Are, you know, there are people, well, like you said, you know, I mean, if you have to get ready for Sexy at 60 at 59, you don't have a choice. You just tuned into the show. Welcome. We thank God for you. But the optimal thing is to get ready for it, you know, way before 60, I would think. So what age, Terry, would you, how would this play out? For people, is there a good age to start getting ready for this? Is this something that, is it like evaluations we do in training? You build the evaluation into, and so,
well, I think with this, is again, you have to start where you are. Okay, even if you're 60, you could still be 60, you know, but sometimes you have to sort of, maybe you have some bad habits. Maybe you're not eating breakfast. Maybe you're not exercising. But that doesn't mean that you can't start there.
Oh, I like it. Okay, so start where you are. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like getting where you fit in, okay? We have to understand, because sometimes people say, well, you know what, I'm 65 right now, it's too late for me. No, it's never too late, you know? The whole thing about life is that, you know, you can, I mean, change, like Wayne Dyer says, and I believe it, you know? He says, change your life, change your mind. That's all. Just change your thinking.
That's right. You know? I got you. That's good right there too, because, you know, start where you are, because let's just say you're 60. Now you can be a part of his movie that says Sexy at 70.
Yes, right. Oh yeah. And the funny thing about, we're doing the Sexy at 60, but we're gonna do awesome at 70, and, you know, truly amazing at 80, and we're gonna go back to the 50s, fabulous at 50. You know, because I think each of our decades, each of our times of life is opportunity to do better. You know, but the thing is, but my mother always says this, and I don't believe it so much. She says, you know, when you see better, you do better. Okay, you can't do better unless you see better. That's why I think Oprah is such a powerful person. She showed us that the talk show, that whole concept of the talk show, could be about teaching. I've always saw her as a teacher. I don't like to call myself a motivational speaker. I call myself a motivational teacher. And Oprah has always been that for me. She's always been a motivational teacher, but she used the media to teach.
Exactly. And, you know, and so you're that's so, so true. It's not like one best way. You can teach through books. You can teach through TV. Some are teaching through radio. Some are teaching through their businesses. They're business owners who many people learned a lot from, you know, Jack Welch. You know, he headed up GE all those years. And so many people learned from him just from the type of that he ran. His employees, Procter & Gamble is another company, where even employees that left that company, most of the ones that left there went on to do their own businesses, their own leadership conferences. And so you're absolutely right. You know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, that lifelong learning and life continuous learning. I tell you, you're on to something.
You're good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But my point is that I think think what happened is that, you know, we need more role models. We need more role models in this particular movement, you know. I mean, I think, you know, I know for myself, I look at people all the time, and the people that sort of catch my eye are the people who are full of life, and I don't care if they're 40, 50, 60, or 7. I see the life within them. You go to a senior citizen's home, and there'll be some who are sitting around watching TV. There's some who are sleeping. There are some who are just wandering around. But there's a person who's getting a lot of people around him, and he's talking about this or whatever. And people like to, and it's almost like being next to a warm, cozy fire. Okay, you want to be next to this person. This person is on fire. This person is blazing. This person has so much. This person is sort of full of life. And you want to get next to that. It's like being near a celebrity. It's like, wow, you know, just to stand near them is a great thing. But again, Jim Rohn always says that success leaves clues. Okay, anybody who you think is successful, you can follow their path. Whether it be Samuel L. Jackson or Patti LaBelle and whatnot, you can look at what they do, and maybe you're not going to be an actor, maybe you're not going to be a singer, but we want to be successful. But there are certain things that I think that you have to do. Number one, you have to really set your mind onto what you want. Okay, you can't be wishy-washy about it. That's one of the things about affirmations, and one of the things they talk about is actually having a journal, you know, writing down these things. Because I know for myself, when I write something down, it really makes it a lot more serious, almost like signing a contract, you know. You're making a contract with yourself, and that contract might say, you know, this week I'm going to walk more. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to get more sleep. I'm going to spend more quality time with my family, with my husband or my wife. I'm going to tell my wife and my husband how much I really appreciate them. And sometimes you got to write it down, because that makes it a lot more serious. Because a lot of times we have a lot of thoughts, but sometimes they just go in one ear and out the other, and we forget them. And that's why I think a lot of times, I know when I get up in the morning, I lay in bed, and though I for some reason I always wake up about 5 o'clock, and I don't get out of bed. I just sort of lay there, and I just sort of plan my day in my mind. But that really gives me a nice platform. And I say, I think what we have to do is become more mindful of who we are and what we're about. I know when I was coming up, I never thought that I would own a publishing company, because I didn't know anybody who had a publishing company. I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't know anybody really who was a writer. So my heroes were people who books I read. And then as I got older, I met people who actually wrote books. And then I made even more of a difference to me and more of an impact, because I said, well, you know what? If he can do it or she can do it, maybe I can do it as well. And then as you develop your skills, you meet other people to take you to another level. That's why when we talk about Sexy at 60, it's not a local movement. It's a worldwide movement, because in a film, we're going to have white people, black people, Hispanic people, every kind of person that we can get. Because, again, I know for myself, I don't think I'm so special. I think there's other people between 60 and 69 who have as much energy, as much determination and drive as I do. And I want to meet those people. I want to meet those like-minded people, because, again, when you meet these people, your game is elevated to another level. And when it's elevated to another level, you don't know where you might go. I mean, you don't know what you might do. My son, again, he is a professional breakdancer, and he's been all over the world. He's been to Bahamas. He's been to Hawaii. And, again, here's a little boy from Elizabeth, New Jersey. And I know that when he was born, he probably didn't think that he'd be able to do all these things. But the thing is that he was taught to be unlimited in his thinking. You know, we let him fly. We didn't talk about, you know, you can't do that, or maybe you should think about a plan B. No, I said, what do you want to do? And whatever you want to do, I will support you in that. And he knew that I always had his back, so he wasn't worried about failing, because if he failed, I was always there to catch him. And the same thing with my father. I've always watched my father. You know, at one time, he was part of a motorcycle club. You know, he owned a big apartment building in Elizabeth. You know, he had his own limousine service. You know, I always saw him being active. He's a party DJ. You know, he's a community activist. You know, he was recently honored by the city of Plainfield for his community service. And so So here's a man, just by being near him, he taught me what it means to, and the thing with him, and he says, you know what, in the final analysis, I said, what is your passion? That was one of the questions I asked him this past Sunday. When I said, what is your passion? He said, my passion is to give back. My passion is to give back what I have. My passion is to really let those who helped me know that I didn't just take what they gave me and just sat on it, you know. I gave back. I remember in the Bible, it talks about the talents, right, that were given to these people. But it wasn't given to them for them to hold on to it. It was given to them for them to make more of it, because it was one of the people who had the talents, and he said, you know, when the master came back, he said, well, you know, master, I just hid it. I just put it away, you know. So I want to give it back.
Right.
But that wasn't the point. I want you to give me back what I gave you. I want you to give me back more.
and the ones who doubled what they had, they were given more.
Yes, yes. So Lisa, that's the essence of what we're doing, you know. You give more. You know, when my father and my mother poured into me, they didn't pour into me just to give back to them what they gave to me. They poured into me to give them back maybe 200-fold. When I poured it to my son, I don't want to give him back just what I gave him. I want him to give back more, you know.
Exactly. When you send them off to college and invest, you know, you have them, they're investing their time and their skills, and they walk out with a degree, but you don't want them to just go home and sit down with that degree. You want you want them to put that degree to work, and then, you know, and I believe that so wholeheartedly. Actually, that's one of my favorite parables from the scriptures, is the talents, because, it only came to me because I had to use it on myself, because I had, you know, come under fire from some people, and they were saying, oh, Lalisa, you know, you're doing too much. God allowed me to find that scripture, and I said, oh, God, you know, thank you, because I don't want to. I mean, here's the thing. When you use what you've got and you go out and double it, he is going to give you more, not you choosing to have more.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Well, that's the thing, because, again, it's so funny. I know in my own personal experience, I'm doing things that I never thought that I would do. But the thing is that when you got to be out there, you got to be in the game of life, okay? Because when you're out there, you'll be surprised what happens. Somebody will give you a pass, and you can take that pass, and you can run with it, and you score not just a touchdown, but you win the game. But then again,
we didn't choose more.
You know,
these paths we didn't choose. You see, they he gave us the talents, and we discovered them. We put them to work. Mm-hmm. You know, almost on a whim, because you're not sure, but you're like, okay, if God gave me a talent to write, to speak, to sing, mm-hmm. to draw, decorate, to engineer, whatever, you know, gives you the talent, you run with it, and when you do, it is going to prosper, because he said it. When it does, he gives you more. So he doesn't give you, he doesn't say, okay, now go take a break. No, that's not what happened in the talents. To the one with the five and the one with the two who went and doubled, not only did he give them more, he called them, he said, you are good and faithful servant.
Yes.
And to the one that he took, he called that one, who the one who didn't even use that one talent, mm-hmm. sitting back hungry, and you got a talent, makes no sense to me.
No, I think you get lazy, you know?
And so what did he say to the person? You slothful, wicked servant. You lazy, wicked servant. You had a talent, and you didn't use it. You wasted it.
Yeah, you wasted it. And then again, my whole thing, I mean, you can't get more unless you do what you have.
Exactly.
You want more stuff, but I got to know that you can take care of what you have.
Exactly. I need you to use what you already got in your hand.
Exactly.
When we're coaching people, I tell my clients, what do you have in your hand? In other words, what can you do now? If you can sing, let's go make some singing now. Can you write? Let's go make a book now. Or make a speech. Like I tell some people, you know what? Do you know how much speech good speech writers make? A lot.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Do you know how much people who write copy for you think everybody with a magazine does all their own writing? Like these editors, you know, they come out with their editor pages and these very think they themselves write that?
Yeah.
Doubt it. I doubt it. Some of them probably do, but I doubt it because, number one, they're too busy.
that's the thing, and that's why we have so many books out here. But I always I read books, and then I read a book that says by so-and-so with another name.
Exactly.
And the most time when it says so-and-so with, that with is the person who really wrote the book. That person who might be the celebrity, might be the prominent person, that's the name. That's the name brand. But the with is that person who actually put that book together. Because
and
that
you know
person
what?
Who was...
You're right.
<Yeah.
laughs> And I would dare say that no one has to be in poverty if they would apply their gift.
Okay.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Your gift, it says, your gift will make room for you.
Yes, yes, yes.
If in poverty, I would say, come see me. Let me see what your gift is, and let me show you how to use. Go see Mr. Terry or go see whomever. Don't know. I'm not going with you in your pity party as to why you don't have any money. I can't do that. I would love to. I would love to, but I can't. I would love to do that, but I can't because I've already been on the other side of poverty. So I already know what...
But it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. And it's funny because that's why I can't really understand about the Occupy Wall Street people. I mean, they're down there demanding that the government gives them something. And the thing with me, and I know what you're suggesting, is the fact that, look, we all have talents and abilities. And my whole thing with my children, I said, you know, what skills do you have to take to the marketplace? Okay, that's what it is. What skills do you have to take to the marketplace? Are you good? Writer, are you a good singer, are you a good dancer? Those are the skills that you take to the marketplace. But you have to develop those skills and cultivate those skills so people want to pay for that ability. But you can't sit back and say, you know what, the government owes me and they should do this, they should do that, they should give us free education. You know, free education is already available to you anyway. I tell my students, the first day of class, I said, you know, how many people here have a library card? I'm not talking about this library card that's associated with the college, but a library card for your local library. That right there is your education. That's your AA, MA, PhD, and going beyond the doctorate. Whatever it is, you go to that library, you use the library the right way, you can be as intelligent, as well-educated as anybody who has a master's or a PhD or whatever, but you have to apply yourself, and you have to be about your business. So a lot of people want something, but they don't want to work for it. They think somebody owes them. And I tell my kids, nobody owes you anything. I'm sorry, nobody owes you anything. And once you realize that, then you understand it's on you. I tell my students, you know, there's the good news and the bad news. What you want first is say, well, give us the bad news. The bad news is that you're 100% responsible for your life. What's the good news? The good news is that you're 100% responsible for your life. Okay, the good news and the bad news is the same thing, okay? It's you. It's on you. You can't blame anybody else if you're not successful. You can't blame anybody else if you're not making the money that you want to make. Because money, I mean, understand it. Even if this, quote, depression or whatever you call it, people are making money. Okay? Not everybody's doing bad. Okay? Understand that. Not everybody's doing bad. As a matter of fact, there are billionaires being made right now as we speak. Not everybody's suffering.
Yeah, because
not everybody's suffering. Yeah. Because you understand that there are opportunities out there, and you have the skills and the ability to take advantage of the opportunity. Like I said before, college a lot of times teaches how to make a living, but it doesn't teach us how to live. But when you learn how to live and you're living your life to the fullest, you're going to meet people. People are coming your path that will help you. I'm doing a play on Phyllis Hyman. We're doing the Phyllis Hyman story. And 10 years ago, I met a young lady who looked like Phyllis Hyman. And I spoke to her, and I found that she sang. And she sings like Phyllis Hyman. I said, I want to do something with you. And that was 10 years ago. So just recently, I met her again, and we're working on the project. I got a cinematographer. I have a guy who writes music. I have people who actually do Phyllis, and we're going to have interviews with them. I mean, everything is coming together, but I think a lot of times people realize sometimes it takes time. And when I say one of the secrets of my success is my persistence. I mean, I'm working on projects I've been working on for the past maybe 10 or 20 years. I mean, I take my time. I mean, it's no rush. I mean, I tell people you can't rush genius. So I take my time, but like, now I may have 10 things going. So, I mean, maybe one thing might take maybe 20 years, but that's okay. But I've done other things in the meantime. But the big, I mean, you know, one of the things that Willie Jolly says, you know, a motivational teacher, he says, you know, the best is yet to come.
Well, that being you know? Said, you know what? Almost out of time, I tell you.
What? It's, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
4 minutes.
What?
4 minutes. I didn't play any commercial well.
Oh, my
technically,
goodness.
But. Before we go, I do want to let people know about our Life Makeover Party tonight at 7 p.m. at the Marriott Hotel. That is right there on Routes 109 South, 600 Routes 109 South in Newark, right over by the Ramada and the Sheraton Hotel. We'll be there at 7. Come, and we're going to talk about how you can make your life over in so many different areas and have fun at the same time. You know, we're going to come, we're going to be empowered, we're going to be inspired to start on, like you said, start where you are, work with what you got. And then for those of us who are coaches, we invite you to our new, brand new, all new morning coaching inspiration call to inspire us coaches to take our coaching business. This is what we're talking about. You have a skill. We're talking about the coaches that people who feel skilled and talented toward and passionate toward coaching others. Again, Terry, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said we've been doing these things for years and years and years and not charging, and now there is a business tool for us to very easily get compensated for the work that we've done for so many people, and I'm talking about true evidence-based coaching. So that's what we're going to be teaching. We're going to be talking about that at 8 o'clock. Dial in. It's a conference call. The number is 218-339-4600. That's 218-339-4600, and the access code is 837-818-POUND. Go on, call that number. Come on the line, introduce yourself, tell us what city or state you're from, and we're going to do some coaching. We're going to inspire our coaches. We've started our coaching business, and we're building our coaches and building our teams. So we are just thankful and grateful. So thank you for you, Mr. Terry, coming again, helping us to slow down, meditate, take those times to replenish ourselves. You know, let that heart, listen to your heart, listen to your own breathing, you know, get ourselves back healthy, and so that when the wealth gets there and it's already here, that we can really enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, that's
so,
the point. Yeah, that's the point.
Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Oh, listen, every Tuesday. thank you for those people who are in the chat room. Thank you to those of you who are on the phone line, for those who go back and listen to the archives. If you want to make a comment to Mr. Terry Benjamin, you can find him on Facebook. If you have questions about editing, about writing, about speaking, he can help you with that. He's also a professor. He's also very skilled and in-depth in hip-hop and the different genres of hip-hop music, and he's got a lot of information that he can share with any group. Call him up. You got an aging group that want to be motivated to age more healthy and more wiser, please give him a call right there on Facebook. So we'll see you back next Tuesday with Mr. Benjamin. And have a great, great, great week, Terry.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome, and thanks to all of you for tuning in to the show again. We thank you for your comments. Please leave your comments on the page about the show on our homepage here on Blog Talk Radio. You can leave a comment about the show. You can leave a comment. You can leave a question. It encourages us. You know, we're motivators. I'm a motivational speaker. Mr. Benjamin is inspiring people and inspires us even the more. We're going to keep doing what we do anyway because we're passionate about it and we absolutely love it. But, you know, it's like being in a two-way conversation. It's good to get that feedback. Or you can share, make a post on our Facebook. What does it take? Like 2 seconds. You know, do it, you know, do it from your phone. Just, you know, send a quick message, you know, enjoyed the show or, you know, thought this about the comment. And it encourages other people to tune in. And we don't want to just keep this knowledge to ourselves. This is too good, y'all. This is too important. You know, my mom died at 70, and she had a massive heart attack suddenly. Nobody was expecting that. And so, you know, but it happened. And so I'm very much touched by this topic of this healthy aging. And you know, though I felt my mom was healthy, but I wished her aging could have been different, so to speak. And then I have my brother who passed away at just 51, you know, and he was just 1 year older than me. So I just turned 55. So I cherish every single day, you know, it's nothing like having a sibling that's just 1 year your difference, you know, pass on due to some lifestyle choices. You know, not some debilitating disease that they had from birth, but lifestyle. And that, when that hits you, you know, you're going to be changed. And so,
you know that, yeah.
Thank God for, you know, Mr. Benjamin. But we got to go. We're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
For tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.